Recording in progress.
Okay, we're still up to the thing with the shoes. I've been working through the kavanas of putting on your shoes, which are, of course, also the kavanas of the bracha, Shosli Kol Tzarki. We've discussed how Shosli Kol Tzarki has two or three different meanings. We can understand it as meaning have everything up to the shoes, so have everything. It's the abundance of having everything, even shoes, which are maybe sort of a luxury if it's not the most important thing. That's one way of reading it. Second way of reading it would be the opposite way, which are have everything is a way of talking about shoes, just like Al Tzarki, as we've quoted the Mama Chazal that said, a person should sell everything he has and buy shoes. In other words, reading that shoes is very important. You can't really go out of your house if you don't have shoes, or you're going to hurt yourself. So it seems to be very important to have shoes, and we've discussed how that's mostly so you don't hurt yourself, which got us into a whole discussion. About how everything needs protection, and we call this chashmal, which is protection of imayla that protects the zone, and so on. There's something similar to that which happens to us when we enter the zone. Something like a sukkah, which is imayla protecting the zone. Very lot of different images for this kind of thing. So that was the second pshat in Ashazli Kol Tzarki. Now we're up to a third pshat, which we've also discussed, a third reading in the pshat of Shosli Kol Tzarki, which it's really not only about the shoes, that since shoes are what you wear when you're standing at the door, you're going out, that's why it's like the last bracha and that seder, where you're getting dressed and then you're going out, so that's when you do Shosli Kol Tzarki. In other words, there's a movement or an action of going out of your house. In your house, you're protected, but when you go out, need to have shoes to be protected, but it's more than the protection that the shoes are giving you, at the preparation of Shosli Kol Tzarki. In other words, everything I'm going to do today, I'm going to work, I'm going to take care of what I need to work, do, it's going to be Me'ake Bracha, and God providing you all of that. Now, in the Kabbalah reading, as we've seen, there's these, all of these readings, we could talk about the Moichin that have to do with the shoes, which is really this chashmal, so it's going to be connected, but we learned that he understands the chashmal to just be another instance, or the last level of imma, which goes into the is that chashmal, so it's related to that. Second one we discussed at length, how this is a protection, and why this is exactly the place that needs protection, because there's chitzonim after the lowest level, natzilis, which is the nuk, or the or pnimi of the nuk, they have the chitzonim. And therefore, we need to create a barrier in between them. And we'll discuss a little bit of how this barrier might work.
Recording stopped.
The third thing that we've learned about Shosli Kol Tzarki is how it means the provision of everything by going out of your house and where you're going to work to provide to everything. And we've quoted the Ramak in Tzvila Moshe, which is here, which explains this through the language of She'osali Kol Tzarki, since we have this whole concept, which we never taught to learn this concept in depth. Really, all of these things are just making me think that I need to go back and learn all of the basic structures, the basic Yisoides of the Arizal. We're just doing kavanas, but I do think that this is a direction to go in, since we have the heter and the power, the siyata d'shmaya of doing things in a way of halacha l'masa, in a practical way, which is really what everything is for. So there's a big difference between trying to understand things as an abstract philosophy and trying to understand them when they're still the abstract philosophy or abstract, I don't think philosophy is the right word, abstract Kabbalah of how the elements work. But they are in the context of how am I going to be mechaven this when I put on my shoes. That changes the attitude to what we're doing. And that's why, although we're going slightly backwards, and I'm thinking maybe to do some kind of series that will go in the more direct way, at least to have some basic concepts. but I feel like it's actually a better way to get into understanding, because the practice is what actually shows us the things, or actually shows us the truth of the ideas or the levels, the things that we're trying to get at. So the Ramak, Reg Asli Kaltsarki, related to the very basic idea that we learned from, the Ramak mostly learned it from the Kenezar, and Shpardes, there's a Shar called Shar Abia, where he discusses the sources from this and what it means, which is that there's four different levels of creation, four different kinds of creation, right? And the Kabbalim connected that to four different Shemot Nirdafim, right? There's different synonyms, synonyms that mean the same thing. So at least the three we'll talk about, Bria, Yetzira, Asira, seem to mean the same thing, just different Hebrew words for creation. Bara means creation, Yatzar means creation, Asa means made, so can be made to mean creation. Of course, there's Atzilut, which is not entirely that, so that's why it's somewhat different, but at least if we talk about these three words, the Kabbalah and Ramak in that shah explains how the match, how the meaning gets to that. We'll get to that. We'll go through that better. But there is what this does is that every time we see a word like Shasa or Sheyatzar or Shebara, we start thinking of these different levels, like we discussed in the Bracha Vashayotzar, which has Ashayotzar, Ubaraboy, and then Maflilasla. So it seems to be mentioning these three worlds, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. And of course, Atzilus is the Neshama itself, or as we discussed it over there. Now, in a similar fashion, he reads, if we say She'osa Likal Tzarki, so it doesn't say She'yotzar Likal Tzarki, it doesn't say She'bor Likal Tzarki, it's She'en She'osa. So this must signify on the Shefa and the Oir getting to Olam Ha'asiya. And the way he explained it, and he connected it to the concept of shoes, is to explain what does it mean, why would this be Olam Ha'asiya, and how does this work? So two things. Number one, these Kaltzarki, what you need is an Olam Ha'asiya, and that's why it corresponds to the shoes, which is sort of the lowest level, the lowest thing that you have going down. So if we consider the Shechina, we'll get to explain how this works. If we consider the Shechina, the Olam Ha'atzilus going down, to give Shefa to this world, that would be considered her shoes, and therefore when she goes to Olam Ha'asiya, that's when she gives you shoes, that's also called Tzarki. But there's another very important point that Ramak made there, which is that didn't start there. And he reads, She'osali pirish himshech ba'asiya li kol ha'nsrechli. Right? So in other words, nothing really starts in Olam Ha'asiya. Of course, when he says She'osali kol ha'nsrechli, what we really mean is that he brought it down from Olam Ha'atzilus through Bria Yetzira until Olam Ha'asiya. Now, once we get thinking of this, now we're going to get back to the Arizal's language. This makes us think of what it actually means, or how this might work, this bringing down of Olam things from Olam Ha'atzilus through Olam Ha'briya, through Olam Yetzira, through Olam Ha'asiya, and how this actually works. So Darizal again is referencing things that he already discussed when he discussed the elements, how they work, and we're going to try to at least a little bit reverse engineer it from here, or as much as it's relevant to us. And Darizal said like this, Oida Irchas, in other words, we've learned that Na'al is the Chashmal, and really what he means to say here is that he's continuing off that. We're continuing off the idea of the Chashmal being Imma that surrounds the Zon, and he said it surrounds it from the side, which is called Levishim, and surrounds it on the bottom, under them. Then it would be called shoes, so it's really the same idea, the same existence, the same thing, that just in its different attributes and its different parts would get different names. But here he really wants, I think, there's some controversy about this, but it seems like over here he wants to get into what aspect actually would be this Na'al, so as it's distinct from just being a levush or just a protection, and what it does besides for being a protection. So again, we can talk about the protection, but now we have to talk about the third thing, and just like Tzadik, where it's also being Meshtalshel and going down through the Olam Ha'atzilus until Olam Ha'asiya, and giving you something over there. So the reason says like this, Anal hazeh, kenei b'chinas ha'mesech, ha'hu shenizbar atzlene, shemafsek ben Olam Ha'atzilus ben Olam Ha'briya. So now, we have this very big question. And again, a more general question, which is, how actually did worlds get separated? So we talk about four worlds, and the Ramak right away in the beginning of his Parashat Arabiya and Pardes asks, so does that mean that there's really 40 spheres? We all learned that Esav Leitesha, there's only 10 spheres. How could there be 40 spheres? Or another way really of asking the question is, what causes one? Well, we know there's different levels. We could talk about them as different levels of causality. If one causes the other, that becomes another level. We could talk also of levels of revelation, right? In Chachma, for example, the Aaron stuff is more open, it's more revealed, we can feel it, we can see it openly. So that's why it's considered Chachma, it's considered a higher level. Once you go down, it's considered low level, there's less Aaron stuff. And I'll explain this in the beginning of Chafetz Chaim and the concept of Tzimtzum and all of that. But what is so what's the difference, what kind of qualitative difference must there be between two different worlds? So if there's just one more level, let's say we talk about Olam Atzilus bring 10 spheres of Atzilus, and then the 10 spheres of Olam Abriya, which are the next 10 levels. That would be the simplistic way of reading it. It doesn't seem to be clear why we would make a cutoff after Olam Atzilus. Why don't we just say, okay, so there's 20 spheres in Olam Atzilus? Or, of course, just like every other sphere, they each go down. They're going down. This is levels on the ladder stepping down, so we could call it stepping down. But why is it called another world? What's the difference between these two worlds? Why are they two different worlds? Worlds sort of seem to signify some, we could call it like a jump, right? There's a difference, there's some bigger difference between the entirety of Olam Habriya and the entirety of Olam Atzilus than there would be just between two levels. So if we say, okay, so it's a little further, so suddenly it got a new name, that doesn't seem to be enough for these people. And especially as the Ramak notices, that would basically tell us that there are 40 spheres, and it seems to be incorrect since we've learned that there's only 10 spheres. Now the Ramak had an answer, and we're going to get to what he really discussed over here. But first, we have to answer the first question, which is really, what causes these olamas to be a different olam? Maybe the Ramak says it. The Rizal is more clear about this. Now Rizal says, and he goes on about this at length in Etz Chaim and Sham and Bez. And the Rizal basically says that there's a difference between just becoming further and further from something. Like we say, Chachma is different than Bina, and Bina is different from Das, and Da and Zah, and so on. And being entirely closed off and getting it through what he calls a Mechitza, a Masach. Masach like Le Masach Pesach, like a Pareches or a Mechitza. And then the Rizal explains that even the Olam Atzilus gets strings through a Mechitza, through a Masach. Like we talk about the Zah getting strings through Imma, so the Imma herself would be a Masach, and we'll see here that maybe this Masach is also Imma, so we're getting it through Imma, so it's also through a Masach. But the way he says it is, Bracha, I'm recording a class, let me do it. And the Rizal asked this question, and he says in Etz Chaim, in Shalman Beis, that there's differences. And this is his image, at least, which is two different kind of differences. We could talk about a entirely closed masach, which means you're going to get everything. Well, sometimes we, after Chabad and the Maggid, call this getting something entirely in translation, right? So you can get the entire thought in some sense, but it's not the original body of thought at all, because it's translated, and translation can have different levels, of course. We talk about just changing in different language, and if it could be accurate, the translation into a different language. But if you translate something into different concepts, even, because people have different concepts and different languages also have different concepts, then you're really getting something else. It's hard to say that it's something else. It's sort of a translation of that. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a translation either. But it's not getting, so it's not the light. You don't get the, we talk about, Chabad, they like talking about these differences very much, what it would mean exactly. To get something through a translation or another. Really, the Rizal sort of talks about two different kinds of things. One is a tzemtum, one is a partzif. In other words, the Olam Atzilus, even the Zav Olam Atzilus especially, which he's talking about over here, doesn't get light directly from Abba or from Ensof, right? Because Ensof goes to Chachma, and Chachma to Bina, and Bina goes into Zav. And then, from Bina, he said, the Rizal always calls it a window. what we call the Yisad Ema, is a window from the Zan. We talk about windows, of course, windows in heaven are a biblical image. So there's a gate, a door, an opening into heaven, which is the Makam HaMikdash. And that's an image of as if everything is closed off, but we left you one little space, and that's also the image of Tzimtzum that Arizal generally has. We left you one little space, and through that, the light from the higher level gets to you. So you get a little bit of the same. We can call it, this is not a translation, but a sort of miut. It's not yet, not that you're getting it only in translation. You could understand one word of the whole book, right? So if there's a whole book which explains Divrei Chachma, this is almost Chabad-style Mushal, then if you would understand only one chapter, and maybe that chapter is the most important one or the least important one, we could have differences of that, which part or which word, but at least you have one word of it, and you don't have the entirety of it, but you have part of it. Then we could just take the whole book and put it through a translation machine. Then you don't even get anything of it. You get just the entire, maybe even get more, but entirely translation. Now, the different levels of these chaloines and mesachim are really what defines the difference between different olamas and different spheres and olamat zilis even. That is explains this in great detail. And in any case, so therefore, as long as you're an olamat zilis, of course, olamat zilis is itself some sort of masach, but let's not consider that. Now, what makes Olam HaTzilis and Olam HaBriah distinct worlds, as opposed to just different levels, is that between the Olam HaTzilis and Olam HaBriah, there is not any space, there's not any hole, there's not any window that you can see from Olam HaTzilis through Olam HaBriah, at least not in a simple way. But what there is a masach, a pereches, a curtain, a real boundary between Olam HaTzilis and Olam HaYetzirah and Olam HaBriah, and everything Olam HaTzilis, Olam HaBriah will get will be through that masach. It cannot get anything directly from Olam HaAtzilus, and that is really what makes Olam HaBriah into a totally different world, right? When we think of the concept of world, what we usually think of is what you can imagine existing, right? So we can have a lot of different levels, like in this world, or a world, that, when I say a world, I don't mean literally a world. Although Arizal does use very simple, literal images and talks about it as being four floors, four flights, which are the four Olamas, but that's just for the clarity of the thing. But when I talk, I'm just trying to give a little more concept. When you try to talk about a world, what I really mean is, in your world, there could be, for example, if someone grows up in a certain society, so to him, there are, of course, every society has tzaddikim, benim, reshaim, there's no such a thing as society without different levels, without different hierarchies, without different, at least different levels of people, right? There's good people, there's bad people, there's sort of normal people in between. Okay, so that's your world. So in other words, that world has itself, like tansfiras, like different levels. You could be malchus of this world, you could be more clear about this world, you could be the highest level, you could be the keser of this world, that's the top. But nobody in this world imagines something that's entirely different, right? So nobody, I don't want to say examples to get people mad. Nobody in the standard Western world, nobody imagines something that's really a tzaddik, right? As an example. There's good people, there might be even inspired people, there might be all kinds of different things. But you need to actually enter into a religious world to even imagine that in your world should even exist something called a real tzaddik. And whatever real tzaddik means in there for us, I don't know what world I'm in. But you could see, if you straddle these worlds, you could see that there's a real difference in what people even imagine to be possible for a human being. If you in America, yes, there's better people and worse people, and there's even great people. And actually, they even heard of, like, what we call saints or holy people, but they don't really conceptualize it the way it's conceptualized within a religious world, where there's different concepts and different levels. So yeah, maybe it's a good person, maybe someone that dedicates himself to doing good and so on. And if you go into the Chassidish world, for example, then you'll hear about a tzaddik as someone that literally, and this is, of course, maybe it's an exaggeration, maybe this is a what Kant called a regulative ideal, maybe it's just a something that we hope to get to, but at least it's something that exists in this world. So of course, maybe we're in the malchus of that world, and this is talking about Attic, okay. But at least there's something that exists. And we talk about, if you go in Chassidish stories, in Chassidish books, you talk about it's a person that doesn't do any move without an intention, without a yichud, right? That doesn't, and there's literally the things that they say. Now, for this to even exist, it needs to be in a different world. So that's, and if I want to go into America and explain them this, I can't, that's not the pshat. If I go to a Chassidish person, this is a very good move. If I go to a Chassidish person, I tell them, you know, you, maybe some days, maybe on Shabbos, maybe when you're in a good mood, maybe Chves, Ayem Nerem, then you could eat with the Kavuna. You could, for every bite you take, you could have some Mechavna Hashem, right? That's Kavuna Sariza. So that's your level of the fifth. Imagine a tzaddik, which does this all week. Okay, so that he would be the attic of your world. Then you're in a different boat. If I go to America and I start talking about this, it's not my problem is not that I can't get them to imagine someone that can do it 24 hours a day or 10 hours a day would be a lot, or 2 hours a day, right? But the problem is that I can't even explain to him what it would mean to eat a piece of pizza and be Mechavan Hashem. He's like, what does that even mean? So I have to translate the whole thing into something else where it loses almost all of its meaning. It might, if I'm a good translator, I might be able to, there's people that work on this, that this is their job, to translate really holy things, really Chassidish Misogim, into the world of America. And I say, well, you could eat, I don't know, mindfully, right? That's the world, that's already a mitzvah, it's a Pesach HaShemal. You could eat mindfully. And yes, that's a translation, but it totally doesn't mean what it means in the Chassidish world. And then we could talk about levels. So you could see very easily that there's something called being in one world. I'm in the same world as, if you're in the Chassidish world, you're in the same world as the Chassidish Tzaddikim. Of course, you're not in their level. And then that would be called receiving art through a light, through a little hole, through a little window. So you don't get the whole thing, of course, but you get some of it. You can get Tuf, and he gets Aleph. And then there's something called being in a totally different world, where everything is through a Mechitza. Everything goes through a translation level, and you literally don't have access to any of the actual objects in that world. Okay, and this is one mushal. We think in a lot of different terms for this. Just want to give some sort of understanding so we should be able to grasp onto this thing of being a Mechitza and being a window. Now, back to where we are. Oh, that was fun. So I have to go back to the real part, the technical part. So now this is the Arizal's teaching. So there's a musach mechitza. This is mafsek ben olam atzilas le'olam ha-bria. And of course, the same thing between bria and yetzira. It might be a different. There might be some difference because, of course, yetzira has some even more, even further. It's not only a quantity of being three more. There's actually a difference, which he talks about in Etz Chaim over there. But this is the similar. And between a world, there's nisbia a musach. So now the Arizal goes thinks through his image. And the Arizal thinks everything in the image of a person, right? The parts of. And he says, okay, if Olam Atzilus, and of course, we'll get to in the next piece how exactly this means all parts of Atzilus. But if Olam Atzilus in general can be considered one person, right? A Adam, then we're thinking of the bottom of it. We're thinking of what makes this, what stops this person from existing and lets another person or another world start existing. And of course, the lowest thing, or the thing, it's not even the thing, right? The thing that's after the person, that's on the bottom of the person, the lowest thing, place of the person, and is mafsig between him and the next world, or the ground, or the next thing, are his shoes. So Arizal says, when you think of a musach, I have a way of thinking of it, which is the shoe. So the shoe of Olam Atzilus is this musach, this pareches, which is mafsig ben Olam Atzilus l'Olam HaBriah, that's the shoe of Olam Atzilus. And really what he wants to say is that when you put on your shoes, which it just is what he's been saying the whole time, when you put on your shoes, really what you're doing is embodying, if you're Olam Atzilus or whichever part of Atzilus you are, well, maybe we'll get to talk about these differences in a minute. If you're Olam Atzilus, then your shoes are the mechitza, which is mafsek, which creates the boundary between Olam Atzilus and Olam HaBriah. Okay, so that's the first thing we know. Now, we need to, of course, go into this more. We need to understand two important things, which, again, these things are already in the Remak in some ways, but that is a lot more clear and deliberate about these things. Just that when I say there's a Masach, so what I say is two things. Number one, I have to understand that this is Masach is not only on the last level of Olam Atzilus. So we could say the, like the Na'aleh, right? The language of Shira Shira, Mayefu Pamayich Ba'Na'olim. How beautiful are your steps in your shoes, right? So that's talking about the Shekhinah. And there's, of course, beautiful shoes which sort of keep us from getting to what's beyond the shoes, right? We have to figure out how to go through that. And if you read that song, Shira Shira, you see that it goes up. Then it talks about Chinuk Yerechayich, and Rashi already says that we're trying to ascend. The shoes is just where we start. But for the Arizal, that's not enough, because he doesn't want anything to be separate from anything else. It's really something that's going on. And to him, when I say it's the shoe, I don't want it to say it's the shoe of the Malchus, because then it would just be the shoe of the Nook, which might be a correct way of talking about things, but it's not only that. These shoes are really the shoes of the Nook and the Zah and Abiv Ima and Arichamp and Adatik Yemen. So he said it like this, Kvaidat, you already know. And he actually said it a moment ago over here. And of course, if you read that Tzchaim, you already know it. But again, we're learning things here. He called Pratzifa Oil Matzis, and Libushim Zebetech Zekaniskale. He Atek, Libushtech Arech, Vashvichali. So of course, one of the big things that Arizal taught, that Arizal literally taught, that this is a difference between Oilma Shvira and Oilma Tekken. And it's also a difference in Arizal's way of reading Kabbalah and any other ways. So it's a good example of that. And I made a picture of it just so we could see it. And the Arizal's image is that we don't have Zeh Lemalem, what Arizal calls Zeh Lemalem Zeh. So you should not imagine, you should not think of Oilma Tzilas. And of course, this is not only a picture, but this is the diagram that we look at it. We don't only imagine the Atik being on top and Arich lower and Chachma a little lower and so on. But we imagine them as being Zeh Lefnim Zeh, one inside the other, like a Russian doll, right? Or in earlier Kabbalah, they didn't have Russian dolls, they said like an onion, right? And this, so if you look at a cross-section of Oilma Tzilas, now there's differences at the top, which is what Arizal teaches, that the reason why we say that Atik is higher than Arich is really because at the top of Atik, there is no Arich. So if you would look, not in a cross-section, you'd look directly, facing Atilis, you'd see on the top Arich and Atik and later Arich. And then Abavim and then Zun. So it's actually a beautiful way of understanding what's going on. So Arizal says, yes, when you're looking at the Atilis from the outside, what you would see is on the top Keser and then Chachma and so on. But I could look from the inside. I can give you a cross-section of it. And if you know the actual cross-section of it, you know that really Atik goes down until the bottom. And Arich also, and Abavim also, although Abavim is a little more complicated, but we're not getting into that. And Zun also. So in other words, that Arizal has this image of the Atzilis, like I showed you here, as they all finish in the same place. So the floor of Olam Atzilis, so to speak, the feet of Olam Atzilis, all of the feet are in the same place. So therefore, if you want to talk about a shoe for Olam Atzilis, you really need to talk about, I'm not sure if it's really the image that maybe we should mention a little bit different, but it seems like he's thinking of something like this. So if you're thinking about the shoe of Olam Atzilis, you think of a shoe which is under Atik and Arich and Abavim and Zun. Because their feet are all at the same place, and all of these, and then further down, would be Olam Abriya. So this is the shoe that goes not only on the Zon, it actually goes at least by, because in the Zon is Atik, is Abavim, and in that is Arich, and so on. So it's really going, it's the, and these feet are actually finishing all in the same level. So that's the Nal. In other words, when you put on your shoes, you're not only putting on the shoes of the Nook, you're also putting on the shoes of Abavim, and also of Atik, and also of Arich. I'm going in the wrong order. But anyways, the shoes of every level of Olam Atzilis, since your shoes need to cover. In other words, what we're talking about here, this is what he's really interested in. He's not interested in the Nalaim of the Nook, he already talked about it earlier. But he's interested in the Nalaim of the Olam Atzilis. In other words, what makes the Olam Atzilis, what stops Olam Atzilis and creates that what's after that is Olam Abriya. So we have to talk about the entire Olam Atzilis. Of course, Olam Atzilis also has Atik and Arich and Abav Ima and Zon. So we have to talk about all of them and explain why this one shoe would be enough for all of them, because they're all melibesh zeh b'toch zeh, and this one shoe is under those feet, and this is what is the itself, the masach that's mafsig between Atzilis and Bria. Okay. So that's one added distinction that Rizal added, that you shouldn't think of the shoe as being only on the Malchus, it's really on all of the Parzifim. But now we have to go in the other direction and understand that when we talk about a masach, we don't only talk about it as a mafsik, it's really also a mavir, right? It's not only a boundary, it's actually also a filter. But this filter is not only there to stop things, it's actually there, like I said earlier, to translate Olam Atzilis into Olam Abriya, right? So when you put on your shoes, we have to think of not only of stopping your body or your light, from, like we said, being protected, and not only in a bad way, we talk this here over here, I'm not going to make things complicated. Also talking about translating and giving over the light that you have into everything else. This is a very important, of course, going back to what the Ramak said, that we have to understand, this is going to talk about, that when we talk about 10 spheres of Olam Abriya, we're really talking about a carbon copy, and that is, they have a different language, but a carbon copy of the same of Olam Atzilis. So it might be different matter, it might be a different Olam in some way, but it's also the same Olam in another way. In other words, it's also the same Sfiras, like the Ramak said, otherwise we would end up with too many Sfiras, and that's wrong, that's disallowed. Disallowed to have more than 10 Sfiras in Kabbalah. So the Ramak explained, and this is based on the Tikkun Zohar, that the Olam HaBriya, and by Funkel HaBriya Tzili, is called the Chosam of Olam HaTzilis. What he means by that is that imagine you have a stamp, right? And you have it has pieces that stick out, right? It's engraved in a way that you stick it into ink. And then they're not think of one in ink, they think of one in like clay or, what do you call it? Like Play-Doh, no? Where you put the stamp into the clay, and then you end up with an image on the clay. And that image is not the stamp, right? It's something that was printed from the stamp. Something that was an image of the stamp. And this is actually a very old image in philosophy. I'm not going to get into the stories of that. Very old image of describing how the same thing can go into another thing in some way. And the Mekabulim at least used this image to explain the difference to Olam HaTzilis, that Olam HaTzilis is the actual stamp, or the actual piece of wood or piece of metal that you're using. And so the real actual tense is Olam HaBriya is like when you put that and you stamp it into clay, that's the Olam HaBriya. And then we could talk about Olam HaTzilis being a stamp of that, or different levels in the stamp. That's different, more differences that we can get to if we read Shara Bia, both in Etz Chaim and in Pardes. The important thing for us is that now, according to this, we have to understand that when we talk about the Musach, the thing that stops Olam HaTzilis, right, it says Ad Kan Olam HaTzilis Mekam Ve'Elach, right, Mekam Ve'Elach Olam HaBriya, that thing is also the translation layer which creates this stamp, this enstamping of Olam HaTzilis and Olam HaBriya. In other words, when you put on your shoes, you're not just stopping the light from going further and therefore creating the boundary, the gvul of Olam HaTzilis, and not just protecting from the klippas, which is somehow connected to this whole thing, but we're not going to get into how it's sort of connect, because it seems to be contradictory. But you're also actually enstamping the Olam HaBriya from that, right? So in other words, if we want to talk about Derech HaVayda, which is what we like to talk about, is it's very important to not have boundaries that totally disconnect. There's actually no such boundary, apparently, in Kabbalah. In other words, every time, like, we have this whole story, which I always think of, Masechtas Brachos, there's a shomer in the Beis HaMedrash. They put a gate, they put a guard in front of his medrash, Gamliel, put a guard and said, whoever is not worthy of learning should not come in. Misha Antecha Kibaroi. And then Reb Lizman Azari disagreed and he took away the guard. In any case, it's still true that the Torah needs a guard. There needs to be some sort of boundary, which otherwise, like we said, otherwise it becomes klippas. Otherwise, you start believing, really, and this connects very much to what I was saying about the different worlds. Otherwise, you become part of America, and then. It's very hard to even sustain what you're doing if it doesn't exist at all in that world. So in order for a greater world to exist, there needs to be something, some kind of gate that makes that world into another world. But whenever we do that, we never want to actually deny the outside from everything. What we really want to do, and this is what Arizal generally wants to do, is to deny the outside to receive it in a way in which he would not be able to accept it. In other words, it would be worse, actually, if we just say the truth to anyone in the street, we would not be helping the street. We would be actually making him further away from the truth, because it's spoken in a language which he doesn't understand, and it's just turning him off. So what we always need to do is that this Musach actually also has the power, and since we're thinking of Kavuna, I don't know what exactly the Kavuna is, I'm sort of giving you the idea, to translate what happens in Olam HaTzilis into Olam HaBriya. So whenever you set up some gate, some kind of little group which says this is going to be our circle and we're going to protect ourselves, we're going to allow ourselves to do things that are more true to us inside this circle, you have to make sure that the wall that you set up around you has the capacity of also then translating it to others. It's not a really hermetic wall, it's not a closed, totally closed wall, it's a wall that is actually what causes the translation to be able to happen. I think the real way this happens is with having different circles of people, we could call them students or call them partners, which each will take it and receive things. And if you see a good rabbi somewhere, that's really what happens. Then they translate it further. So they serve both as a boundary, so you don't get burnt by the rabbi's light, and they serve as a translation layer for the people that therefore can get closer and eventually maybe be that, but that's the, like we learn El Mabriya, and eventually could become El Matzilis, but that's again getting us into more complex territory. So this is what we're reading over here in as Gimel, like separated. In the Derech Zeh HaMosach Me'ir Naparzifim Da'atzilis Lemata Bebriya Ki Yotza Oy Derech Ragli Atik Va'ifu Derech Ragli Arich Ad Shemagim Ragli Zon Va'ifu Marosim Derech HaMosach HaNiska. So through this Mosach, it's not only what stops El Matzilis from bumping into El Mabriya, it's what gives over the light. And which light? Like we learned in second thing, not only the light of the Nook, but the light from Atik, which can through Arich, which can through Avim, which can through Zon, all of them through El Mabriya and Validei Zeh. And we learn as that. That's how in Olamat Bria there's also 10 spheres. Nachtemu kol ha'eretz atzilis nachkok lemat bria kol ha'eses spheres de bria. Kedimion ha'eses spheres de atzilis. So therefore, that's how we could have in Olamat Atzilis there's Atik de bria, there's Arich de bria. In other words, when you're the translator, when you're the Gabba that stands to do the translates things for the people that don't understand, you're not going to want to translate only the last thing, like only the halacha lemasa. So therefore, you should go out and nachlezmas. You're going to want to translate everything from the first level, from keser, from the highest thing that the Rebbe taught. Of course, that itself will go through all the level translation layers in order to make sense to someone in a different world. But you can't just translate the last thing. If you just translate the last thing, which what happens, like if you have the Torah itself, people say, okay, I'm going to teach someone entirely outside. Well, I'm just going to teach you to how to tie your shoes, right? Which we've been learning about. Halacha lemaaseh. You say, okay, halacha is the Shechina, halacha is the Malchus, halacha is the Nook, it's the halacha lemaaseh. That's all you need. But that's not true. Because in the Nook, there needs to be feeling, which is an, in that there needs to be thought, which is binah, and in that there needs to be dvaikas, which is chachma, and in that there needs to be ritl, which is keser, or however you want to call it. In other words, really, if you teach some person that's starting from zero which way to tie your shoes, you really need to make sure to teach them also how the shoes are the zone, which are getting the protection of imma and everything that we're learning here. Otherwise, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. And how exactly this works, again, something like I described. I've wrote where you should look if you want to look it up more clearly. These 10 spheres, the El Mabriya, they're the chosim, they're the stamp of, I don't know if stamp is the correct word, it's the part that gets stamped, right? That's what he means. It doesn't mean the stamp, it means the ink, or not the ink, again, it's the ink of like clay. The clay that gets a insignia like of the El Mabriya, I'd say this. And then he says again, mamash. So this is important. The oyer raglaim literally derech hamosach. Gam kol oyeres shirat. That's of course the closest level. So you get literally the light of the feet. So in other words, in some sense, we could talk about all the next elements as being the feet, like Chazal has language. If I'm misablik b'afar raglaim shlam dechomim, right? You should sit at the feet of the teachers of the smart people. That's because you're going to get literally the light of the feet, but in their feet, kam kol oyres shekhem es apatz shlo eva viyotz derech raglaim v'oyr viyotz derech hamasach el habriya. V'chanal derech zeh mebriya letzirem etzir lesiyah. So what I think what he's saying here when he talks about v'chanal derech zeh, of course, in Etz Chaim, there's an elaboration of the differences between these things. What he means to say is that I just gave you the concept of a shoe, and shoe as the musach which both receives from Atik up until there, and therefore gives it all over to the next level. Now, of course, this is a general concept. There's a Musach between Olam HaTzilis and Olam HaBriya. There's also a Musach between Olam HaBriya and Olam HaTzira. There's also a Musach between Olam HaTzira and Olam HaTzira. So therefore, maybe if you're in Olam HaBriya, then your shoes will be the Musach of Olam HaBriya. Maybe if you're in Olam HaTzira, in other words, just because you're in a different Olam doesn't mean you don't have the same structure, doesn't mean you have the same patterns that we have. We talked, the Arizal generally likes talking about Olam HaTzilis, but the same thing is true for Olam HaBriya. So maybe if you wake up in a bad mood one day and you don't want to be mechavan about how your shoes are the musach of Olam HaTzilis, you could be mechavan of the Olam HaBriya or the Olam HaTzira, and maybe even the Olam HaTzira actually seems to have some sort of musach. And again, you could read over there to see exactly how. Okay, so this is Atkan, is the basic understanding of this shoe. Well, if you're got up to here, then you should be happy and you know the Kavanah. Now there's one more thing which really ties this back into the earlier discussion of Chashmal being the Chashmal of Imma. And there's one line over here, and actually if you read in Etz Chaim, you'll understand exactly what he means. I'll try to just explain this line in simple terms, just so we could read it. So he says like this, Vanillin is Datis, this is Reb Chaim Vital speaking. Actually in different places he seems to say this in the name of Darizal, so it's a good question what happened. הסיבס החשמל הזה, דה אימא, אמרי בדקינם, דה אימא לב מקנה וקרסאי ובן זה. So the Tikkun HaZohar, which is really more or less the source of this whole idea of the four worlds, says a lot of things about them. Of course, he has this basic understanding, the basic ontology of them, which is that they're like chesamas, they're the engravings or the stamps of the upper worlds and all of the levels of that. And he also says something which divides the four worlds in the way of the four main spheres, or what Arizal would call the four main pratsufim, right? Of course, that is a fifth world, which is Ak, which would correspond to the fifth sphere or Atik or Ketzer Shaliyot. And the Tikkunim says, Abba, at least that's, we understand that there's some differences again in the details, but that's in the basic way. That is just this four worlds. So four worlds are like the four Osius of the Shem Havaya. Abba would be, or Chachma, or the Yud would be the Olam Atzilis. Bina, or Imma, or the Hev, the Shem Havaya would be in the Olam Abriya. So that's the language of the Tikkunim is Imma Mekanna Bekrsaya, the Imma, the Bina. Has her home. Makanna is like, again, we're thinking earlier of the bird, Kaneshi Yarkina El Gazila Virachiv. She has her nest. She nests in Olam Habriya. So if you want to translate, like Danny Matt likes translating the imagery, the Imma, this eternal mother, nests in Olam Habriya. Right? That's how you translate Imma Lo Makanna Bekrsaya. Well, actually, Kersaya means in the throne, which is a Zohar code for Olam Habriya, because that's the Olam HaKisa covered. So if the Olam HaTzilis is the man, is the Odom Al HaKisa, the Kisa is the Olam Habriya. Right? And then, moving on from that, the Teferis or the Zah is the Vav, is the Olam HaYetzira, and the Malchus or the Nuk, or the HaHechrona of the Shem Havai is in the Olam HaAsiya. Now, the Izal seems to have been very worried about what this actually means. Of course, the basic sense of it, it's just this, that, you know, we could always divide everything by this way. That Israel is never really happy with that. Of course, it's true. We talk about the Shem Havai, we could talk about it like we discuss. There shouldn't be a class like with these basics. Maybe I'll make one. We can discuss everything with Klal, Beprat, Beprat, Beprat. And so we can discuss in the most general Klal as the four Olamas being the four Oasis of the Shem. We can discuss this in one Olam, the ten spheres. In each sphere we could divide again. So, of course, that's just an easy that everyone knows. The Rizal generally think that there's always depth beyond that, although that's true, that's not enough for the Zohar to tell us these things, because, like, we know that already. So why does he have to tell it to us again? So in the Rizal, if you read that Chaim, there's different derishim. There seems to be three, four different readings that he has of this statement of the Tikkun HaZohar, that Imma is in the Abriya, and so on. And here the Chaim Tal is giving one of the reasons. And what he's really saying is something like this. What would it mean for the Olam HaBriya to be the world of Imma? Yes, of course, it's true that if you look at the levels and you divide the levels and the like Erech, and you cut, it turns out that that's useless. So what he really wants to get at is talk about, going back to what really makes every Olam, like we said in the beginning, what really makes every Olam a different Olam, what really makes every Olam, really every level in the world, a different level, is how much, how pure, right, the level of purity, the level of openness, of the light that it gets, right, or how many mesachim and mavdilim it went through, right? So, of course, what makes Olam Atzilus or Olam Atzilus is that it gets light through Chachma directly, but directly, and what makes Olam Abriya Olam Abriya is that it doesn't get the light directly, it only gets it through this Nal, or this Musach. Now, recall that what we learned earlier, that this Nal is really Chashmal, and Chashmal is really the outer shell, or the outer garment, maybe the outer skin, questions of how exactly to read it, of the Imma Elo, which encompasses the Zon in her, and that's what turns into the Nal. Therefore, we understand that, and this is what this is the layer that separates Olam HaTzilus from Olam HaBriya. So now you understand that everything Olam HaBriya gets, of course Olam HaBriya itself has Atik Arich, it's all translated in the way of Imma. So all the light that Olam HaBriya gets is from this Chashmal of Imma, and therefore we could talk about Imma Elo Mekana B'Gesah. And therefore, in the same way, in a similar way, he says that when we say that is the Olam HaYetzirah, the Olam HaTeferes, it's because the Musach that separates Olam HaBriya from Olam HaYetzirah is created not from the Imma Elo, like the Olam HaTzilus, it's created from the Zah of Olam HaBriya somehow. In the same way, when we say that Malchus is in Olam HaAsiyah, what we mean is that the Malchus of Briya is the translation layer that gives us everything, all the light Olam HaBriya. So that's why everything in Olam HaBriya. So this is the Prime Tal Darizal's explanation of Imma Mekanna Vekirsai, because going back to this Chashmal, which is the Chashmal of Imma, which is what is the Parayich, what is the Mosach between Olam HaTzilus and Olam HaBriya, and therefore all the light Olam HaBriya gets is through the language and through the Mosach of Imma Elo of HaTzilus, right? Which goes through, which although it's really higher, but we learned earlier that it also covers up the zone of Atzilus and from there to El Mabriya. So now we've finished all of the kavanas of wearing your shoes. Hopefully we'll have a different experience in putting on our shoes now that we have this class. Next time, what are we going to do? What I'm planning to do, I'm sort of aiming, there's really, if you go on Seder Afshar Kavanas, we sort of started in the beginning. And after this comes something called Inyan Abrachas, which talks about, it's known in the Hashash world as Matpeh Abracha, talks about the Kavanah.